thank you all for being here. It's nice to see everyone. It's it is a privilege, although there's nerves involved, and we get nervous when we're up here. It is a privilege, and it's exciting to share the gospel. It's something that has changed our lives. It's changed my life. It's something that I know has the potential to change your life. It's a story about a Savior who loves you, and it really is the best news that anybody could share with you. So we are happy to be able to share that with you, although at least I speak for myself. I'm pretty nervous to be up here. But anyway, before we open God's word, we will pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks that he loves us. And we sang a song about what it's like being without him, but we know that that's not his desire. We know that you hope that everyone will be saved, and you provided a way for everybody to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray that you would give us help to share this message in a good way, and we do pray that everyone here would see the light. They would see what you've done for them, and they'd see that you love them, and that Jesus died for their sins on the cross. So we just pray that you would bless this meeting tonight and bless everybody that's here. In your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to open our Bibles and turn to Ephesians tonight. Ephesians. I just want to think of one verse in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith," so we're jumping into the middle of a paragraph here, but I want to think of these words. "He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I was thinking of this verse in the way of three headings, and that's how I'm going to present it tonight. Awake thou that sleepest, first heading. Arise from the dead, second heading. Christ shall give thee light, the third heading. And for the first heading, I want to read a verse in Romans, because in my own mind this connected, and I hope it does for everybody. It's a verse that's meant to be exciting. Romans chapter 13. But there's an opposite. For every statement you can make, there's an opposite to it, right? There's two sides. And the opposite to this statement is really what I'm thinking about. Okay, I couldn't find it, but I just found it. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The writer here is writing to the Romans, to the church that's in Rome, and he's saying how he's encouraging them to live for the Lord. He's saying, your salvation, the end of it, is close. The Lord is coming back. This is true. It's exciting for us. It should motivate us. But for someone who doesn't know Christ, the opposite is also true. Your time, until that moment when he comes, is nearer now than it ever was. And it says, awake. That's how this verse starts. It tells us, it tells me, awake. You should be living your life for the Lord, but it tells you, awake, because you need to know the Lord. So I'll read it again. Awake. That's my heading. Sorry, I misspoke. It is now high time to awake, out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. So, I was thinking about this title, Awake, and really how the idea of how someone without Christ is asleep. And it's an expression that the Bible backs up in some way at least. But it's an expression that the world that's pretty common in the world, and it talks about the devil and how he's cradling the world, how he's rocking the world. And I was thinking about that. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the devil and how he's blinded the minds of them that believe not the gospel. In 1 John, it talks about, actually, it basically says, it says the whole world lieth in the wicked one. And lieth really is the idea of laying down, of sleep, of restfulness. And it says in wickedness, but it's talking about the devil. It's talking about the wicked one. And in 1 Thessalonians, it also has the idea of sleeping. If you're not in Christ, you're asleep. And really the idea is complacency, isn't it? It's being happy where you are. That's really what the devil wants. That's what he is so good at. And I know that from my own experience. I was 19 years old before I trusted Christ. I lived a little bit. And I was very satisfied most days with what I had. There's a sense of comfort, even though you know that there's doom in the future. And I knew that. I knew that if I had died, there'd be judgment. But I liked my life. I liked what I had. I liked my toys. I liked my job. And maybe you think your life is pretty good. You know that in the future something will have to change, but for the time being, you enjoy your life. And that's just where the devil wants you. But this verse in Ephesians says, awake. Awake. The devil's there rocking you. You know, I don't have any babies anymore. My youngest is about to turn 2, so that's toddler age. I don't get to rock her to sleep anymore. But as a parent, you're trying to put your baby to sleep and you want everything to be quiet. You want everything to be silent. And you don't want your other, slightly older, rambunctious kid running around yelling, awake! Because that's not going to help your baby sleep very much. That's exactly what the devil wants. The devil is trying to rock this world. He's trying to rock you to sleep. He's trying to keep you happy. Trying to keep you complacent. But God says, awake. Stop listening to him. Awake and realize your need. And really, to illustrate the story of complacency, although maybe it's not a perfect story, I was thinking about when I worked at Trout River Industries. I worked in the machine shop there, and it was right, the lathe that I worked on was right here, the door to the main shop was right there, and then the walkway to the other side of the main shop was there. So I was kind of right in the middle. It was right between the old piece and the new piece. And the bathrooms were right in front of me, so I got the bathroom and the lunchroom. So I got all the action. Anybody that was walking, I got to talk to, I got to see anything. I was in the only walkway. And one day, somebody from the old shop area where the metal break and all the metalworking tools are, he came stumbling in, and he stumbled into the bathroom, and I could tell something wasn't right. And then there was a couple others that followed him in. So I went and checked it out, partly from curiosity and partly you want to make sure everything's all right. And this guy had pinched his finger in the hydraulic press, and it was crushed and it was bloody, and he was in shock, and he didn't want to leave the bathroom. He knew that things weren't right. He knew that there was something in the future that had to be done, but he was happy in that bathroom. With his bloody fingers, he wanted to stay there. He didn't want to leave. And that's your life. That's really the picture I wanted to get across. You know that there's judgment. You've heard the gospel before. You know enough of the Bible to know that in your sin, you're not safe. But you're happy with what you have for now. You don't want to change. You don't want to make that uncomfortable step out of the bathroom to get the help you need. You're asleep, and that's right where the devil wants you. But Ephesians 5 says, awake. And then, so that's the end of my first heading. The second heading says, arise from the dead. And for this one, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And to be clear about the death, the dead that this is talking about, this is why I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about the way, this, it's written to Christians also, but it's talking about the way Christians used to be. Because although I'm not standing here saying I'm better than you, because I'm not. I still live an imperfect life by times. I do things that are wrong. But in God's sight, I'm righteous. In God's sight, I'm good. Although it doesn't seem right to myself, that's my standing in Christ. So now he's writing to people who have been saved. He says, you're not like this anymore, but you used to be. That's really how he's saying this. So with that, we'll read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We'll cut in. It says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And really, that's the only part I wanted to get from that verse. It talks about how we need to arise from the dead. And in the same book, Ephesians, it's the best way to translate it, is by itself. It says, you are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, I was thinking about rising from the dead. And I think you guys know the same thing. If I'm going to do something, Jamie asked me if I'd ever be interested in welding up a truck frame for him. It's a double frame. I don't know who knows anything about trucks, but some trucks just have one solid big frame. Some trucks have two little frames, and they put them together. Jamie asked me if I'd ever be interested trying to tackle this double-frame truck and fixing it, but I had never done it before. So I turned to somebody who I knew did, Alan MacArthur. He's a friend of mine, and he's very smart, and he's fixed a lot of them before. So I went to the person who I knew had done it before for advice. Well, that's what we're going to do here. Romans chapter 4. Someone who has been raised from the dead, that I know of for a fact, is Jesus. And in Romans chapter 4, it talks about that for a second. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, verse 23, it says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. And this is really the section I want to get to here. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we see a purpose here. We see that Jesus was delivered to the cross for our offenses, for our sins, the things we had done that was wrong. That's why he went to the cross. He was delivered for that. And then he was raised again for our justification. And often it's translated, he was raised again as a declaration, as proof of our justification. Now, when I go to the store to buy gas for my truck, I tap my card, a little piece of paper slips out, and it says, it's a receipt, and it says that my card had enough funds to pay that bill. And this is really the same idea. Jesus was raised again as a receipt, as proof that he was enough to pay for our sins. But I'm kind of getting a little bit off track, but I wanted to talk about Jesus' resurrection for a second. And now, arise from the dead. And really, I want to focus on that word dead for a second, because we read that we're dead in our sins in Ephesians. So now, we see here that it was for our sins that Jesus was delivered to the cross. And I'm sure you noticed that it says, if we believe on him, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's why I went to that passage. It talks about how he was raised from the dead. But then, in the next chapter, it reminds me of Ephesians 2 again. So Romans 5, verse 6, it talks about how we were without strength. And really, this analogy is used all the time, but Ephesians 2 and 1, dead in sins. Dead people can't help themselves. Dead people are strengthless. There's no life in them. There's nothing that a dead person can do. We are dead in sins, naturally. There's nothing we can do to help ourselves. Romans 5 and 6 confirms that. We are without strength. We are unable to help ourselves. There's nothing we can do. But again, we talked about Christ being delivered for our offenses. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." So here we have a ray of hope. We see that we have to awake. Maybe you're trying. We talked about how the devil has the eyes blinded of them that believe not the gospel. But maybe you're starting to wonder. Maybe you're starting to search. Maybe you're wanting to be raised, to be quickened. That the word quickened in Ephesians really just means made alive. You want to be made alive. And you're looking and you see, okay, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm without strength. I want to take it a step further, though, because God's grace is more than just while we were without strength, Christ helped us. Because in verse 8, it says, "God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners," while we were still sinning against God, "Christ died for us." And that makes me think of the cross. You guys have likely, I assume you guys have heard the story of the cross before. And I was just reading it over the other day. And Jesus is led to the cross. We know that he didn't deserve to be there. We know that Jesus was perfect. And it was a fake trial. It never should have happened. And if the court was any sort of legal, he wouldn't have went there. If justice had have worked, he would not have went. But it was God's plan that he go to the cross, and he went. But Jesus was being nailed there. He was being spit on. He was being punched. People were hurling, they were yelling insults at Jesus. They were making fun of the fact that he said he was God. They were doing everything disdainful and disgusting and hateful that they could to the Lord Jesus. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." These people were actively sinning against the Lord Jesus Christ and against God, and he called for their forgiveness. And that makes me think of this verse. God commendeth his love towards us. He commended his love towards Luke Hurlihy, that while Luke Hurlihy was still a sinner, Christ died for Luke Hurlihy. He commendeth his love towards you, and that while you were still sinning, while you were against God, Christ still died. Christ died for you. Christ loves you. So, this verse in Ephesians, it says, "Awake." It says, "Arise from the dead." But we know, based on Ephesians, based on Romans, that this is not something you can ever do by yourself. It's something that you can only do through Christ. And this verse in Ephesians says the same thing. It says, "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And that's how I want to end. I want to talk about Christ. Ephesians, when it uses this verse, it's actually a reference to the Old Testament in Isaiah. And he's presenting darkness and he's presenting light. And darkness is the way the world naturally is. And light is the opposite. Light is what Christ gives us. And I was thinking about the way the world is. I often do when I speak the gospel. It's always a contrast in the Bible. And really, Christ is the answer to all of the world's problems. You know, the world is longing for understanding, to understand the purpose of life, to understand anything. Christ is the answer to that. He has a plan for us all. Christ is the purpose of life for everybody. God has a plan for everybody, and if we're saved, he will show that to us. So understanding Christ is the answer to peace. We know Christ is the answer to peace. Romans chapter 5 starts out. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Peace is something the world does not know, but in Christ, you can know peace. The world is lost. The world is trying to twist and confuse and change everything that God has set to be structure. But that's where structure comes from. God has designed marriage. He's designed, to an extent, government. He's designed levels of you know, masters and employees and all that. He's laid out order and how it's all supposed to work. But the world wants to change it because the world doesn't like God. But Christ is the answer to that. He's the answer to love. And I'm not talking husband and wife or anything like that. I'm talking true love. God loves you. And you have a need for him. And you won't know love until you know Christ. That's a promise. You know, he's the answer to the future too. The Bible talks about two futures. If we die in our sins, hell is the future for us. If we die in Christ, heaven is the future. He's the answer to the future. But you know where it all starts? Christ shall give thee light. Where it all starts is in Ephesians. Again, because I like to try and stick with the book that I'm speaking out of. It all starts in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's where it all starts. That's something we all need. We all have sins. They're against God. But he says, we have redemption. I will forgive your sins. And really, he's already paid for them. But Daryl was speaking at the villa. He was talking about how Jesus is knocking. And he says, Jesus will never kick the door in. It's a funny way to think about it, but it's true. Jesus will never force his way into your heart. You have to let him in. That was Daryl's point. And your sins are paid for. Jesus has that receipt, as it were. All you have to do is just accept it. All you have to do is just receive the gift. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the verse I was saved through, says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So again, we think of this verse. We'll end with it. Awake. We need to wake up. I can't think of the verse because I closed my Bible. We need to wake up. We need Christ to show us. I'm turning to the verse. I'm sorry. If I trust my memory, I'll lead you astray. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. We know that we don't have any power over death by ourselves. That's Christ's job. He's already beat death. He's already risen. He can give us new life. He can forgive us our sins. And this is really what I want to leave you with. Christ will give you light. Christ will never leave you hanging. If you reach out to Christ, he won't turn his back. And he's waiting for you to reach out to him. That song we sing sometimes, it says, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord." And the chorus says, "Only trust him, he will save you, he will save you now." So I trust that you will do that tonight.